Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for April 6th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me is Jim Allen. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well. I've been rugbified.
Well, I can give you a shot for that.
I already got a shot.
Either that or a kick in the pants. it sounds very violent. Everything, shots, kick in the pants.
Now, Mr. Rich Freeman went to England, and I got his rugby gig for the weekend.
All right, the rugby Tokyo Sevens. On this week's show, we've got an interview with Ernesto Mejia of the Cebu Lions, and we're going to discuss all the wild things that have been going on this past week. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
All right. Well, on opening weekend, I went out to Cebu Dome twice, and I had a couple of long chats with Ernesto Mejia, the first baseman of the Cebu, I guess it was the Saitama Cebu Lions, and they now play in Cebu Prince Dome.
Don't leave your prince here.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least it prints.
Yes.
I have a printer that won't, but the Cebu Dome does.
All right.
Okay. So the Mejia joined the Pacific League last year after a lifetime in the Atlanta Braves organization. And he became the first player in the history of either of the two current leagues to lead a league in home runs after joining the team mid-season. I had a nice chat with about him in December with Cebu Lions scout Jose Ortiz, my buddy. And I didn't put two and two together to realize that he had signed him or he had scouted him. I just, Mejia showed up and I went, oh, good pick. Right. So, but Ortiz told me quite a few things, and that's sparked a lot of conversation about his weaknesses. So let's hear what Mr. Mejia has to say. Okay. Now, our guest on the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast is Ernesto Mejia. And thank you for being with us again.
Oh, thank you.
And so the season has started now. You haven't got a home run yet, and of course, I heard you the other night when the reporter asked you, we want to see home runs. And when you hear that question, what's your answer? How do you feel?
I want to hit a home run too, but everything is about time. You never know what's going to happen. Maybe today, maybe next week, maybe next game. You don't know. So, but for sure, I'm working hard to not just hit one, but many.
Of course. Yeah. You got about maybe 30, 40 coming this year. So.
I hope so. Yes.
Okay. Let me ask. Have you changed your swings at all, or changed anything about your batting since you first arrived in Japan?
No, not really. I mean, there are no reason for changing. Just sometimes one day I work more on different stuff than other stuff. Sometimes I'm trying to drive the ball far. Sometimes I'm just trying to make good contact. Just working on state metal. Sometimes I try to pull more on the last round, but I don't change it at all. Okay. It's just that you see so many different pitches during a game that I'm trying to work a little bit on everything.
Okay. Now, the other day we were talking about how the 3-2 breaking ball. Now with the right-handed pitchers, it's mostly like a slider away.
Slider away or split.
Split, yeah.
Yeah, so, by the way, last time I had 3-2, I saw fastball inside. It was a ball, but I wasn't expecting that.
Was it yesterday?
Oh, first day.
On the first day, okay. Yeah, that can be a surprise.
Yeah.
So, how about from the lefties, again? What is it?
They throw curves or changes? Yeah, they more throw about slider and changes.
Okay, where do you in on your hands or?
Yeah, sometimes in on your hands or change a middle way, make it look like a strike,
All right. Yeah. So now, last time we were talking about Jose Ortiz I remember him. Of course, he played 9 years here in Japan. So do you remember the first conversation you had with him?
Yes, we talk more about family things and stuff like that, where you're playing and all that.
Right.
and he talked to me a little bit about Japanese baseball too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now when you were in the Braves organization for about 11 years, and when you got the opportunity, when you found out there was an opportunity to go to Japan, how was your reaction? How did you feel?
Well, I was so happy. There was nothing to think about.
Right.
You know, I was just, I couldn't wait to get out of that and get a different way to my career.
Right.
And finally I found something different, and actually works. I'm really happy here with the team, with the league, and Japan is a great country. People treat me so well.
And you were hitting really well last spring, you know, at the start of the season. You were really raking the ball. And then you had a layoff, because between the time you stopped playing in AAA and the time you started playing games here was, what, 2-3 weeks or a month?
Yeah, well, almost a month. It was almost a month, because actually I stopped playing April 19, mm-hmm. and my first Japanese game was in May 16.
Okay.
So it was almost a month. And
how hard was that?
It was really hard, because I took a lot of time off. But finally, when I got in Japan, I get to practice 2 weeks
uh-huh.
with the minor league team.
Right.
We practice a lot, and I had a couple of non-season games
right.
with them.
Okay.
So that helped me too.
Yeah, a lot of players have said the same thing. I know Mauro Gomez last year, mm-hmm. he had to start the season, or he had to end the preseason with the minor league team. And he said there was no pressure, and there was just a lot of swings.
Yeah.
Because nobody's bugging you; you can swing as much as you like. And
yeah.
and Vladimir Valentin said the same thing when he was hurt last year, and he had to spend every day on the farm. He said farm team was great for getting your stroke back. How was that the same for you?
Yeah, it was actually awesome. They treat you awesome. I mean, just like here, mm-hmm. they let you take many swings you want, and they let you do whatever you want to do, and they help you out to get your body in the right shape, you know,
okay.
for to come back here.
Okay, well, that's been an issue this year, because you're in playing shape now, or close to your ideal playing
yeah.
shape.
I mean physically I think I'm 100%.
Okay.
I feel really strong. I feel in a great shape. I lost 9 pounds, like I say, the other day.
Yeah.
And I feel really good. It's just right now it's just about timing, you know.
Okay.
The mechanics and all that, reading the pitcher and all that is I'm right there. I'm trying to figure it out, but I'm pretty sure I'll do it soon.
Yeah.
And I'll start doing my thing.
Okay. Now, what advice or what good input have you gotten from the batting coaches here?
You know what? They don't really talk to me about my swing. They like my swing. They let me do whatever I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
They just talk to me about pitching sequences,
okay.
you know,
situation.
And situations. What should I do? What should I think?
Mm-hmm.
What the pitcher throws. What he likes to throw with two strikes. Things like that, you know. But the coaches are really nice with me.
Mm-hmm.
They let me do what I want to do. They trust on me. They trust me. So
okay.
I really appreciate that.
Okay, now let me ask about your impressions about Japanese baseball. Now, what pitchers have impressed you the most here in Japan?
Oh, you know, there are a couple great pitchers. I think Otani is really impressive because his age and
mm-hmm.
And how hard he throw, and he's a good hitter too.
Yeah.
So it's not a secret. Everybody loves him. He's a super athlete.
Okay.
But I'm not really good with names.
Okay.
I cannot remember names, but I can remember pitchers.
Okay.
That really, really good. Like last year's fighters closer. Was
yeah.
Really good.
I want to say Masui.
Yeah, he's really good.
He's got that splitter, yeah.
Yeah, he got a good split, and actually there's a guy here too that I don't remember his name either.
Okay.
He throws a really nice and nasty cutter, slider, and good fastball.
Okay. Now, how about other players? Are there some players in Japan who just love their game or love their swing or something about him? You say that guy's a ball player.
There is a guy.
There's so many of them I know, but
there's a guy that is my favorite hitter. He's an amazing player. For me, he's an amazing hitter. I don't know his name, but he played for the Giants. His nickname is, I think, Robot.
Robot.
Lefty. He's like.
Ave the catcher?
No.
The lefty. Young guy, old guy?
Veteran guy, I think.
Yoshinobu Takahashi? No. Robot. I'm trying to think.
His discipline on home play, on doing swings and hitting stands.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
unbelievable. He's really good hitter.
So obviously the style of play here in Japan is a little bit different. Do you enjoy the way they play the ball, play the game here?
Absolutely. It's a fast game.
Fast guys.
Yeah. They're great hitters. Pitchers are, they hide the ball. They love hiding the ball.
When you say hiding the ball, do you mean the ball is hard to pick up, or do you mean keeping the ball away from you?
Yeah, of course, keeping the ball away from you, but making it look like a strike.
Okay.
They love making it look like a strike, but at the end, it's not a strike. It's so tough that even the umpire make mistake and call it strike.
Yeah.
Because they really love working on that.
Yeah, that is when I see the Japanese pitchers go to the big leagues. That's so much a part of their game, is throwing that ball that looks like it's going to be a strike and get guys to swing out of those zones.
And at the end of all this, it's around the zone, but it's not strike.
And then you get this 87-mile-an-hour fastball up here, and you can't handle it.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like 94.
All right, buddy. Well, thank you very much for joining us this week, and good luck the rest of the season.
No, thank you very much. See you around.
Oh, man. For the best.
Yeah, take care.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you again, big guy.
Thanks a lot, Ernesto. I'll see you out there soon.
You just say that. You know you don't mean it.
Okay, I'll be out there sooner than I know it, probably.
Yeah, sincerity is what John has a lot of.
Oh, thank you, big guy. Thanks.
So you're welcome. Now, Ernesto, when I spoke to him, he hadn't hit a home run. He had a couple RBIs. He had a couple of RBIs, but no home run. And a reporter asked him, "We're waiting for a home run. The fans are waiting for a home run." He says, "Yeah, me too."
Yeah, of course he is. Of course he is. I'm surprised they didn't ask him, "When are you going to hit the home run?"
Yeah, well,
Ernesto Damas.
Oh, good one. Anyway, he didn't hit a. Ernesto didn't hit a home run until this past week, but opening day, Mejia was taking batting practice, and it looked pretty bad, and it was a warm day, and Hisanobu Watanabe, the former manager, now the Lions' senior director, and Takashi Miyata, their international director, were standing in the dugout watching and just shaking their heads and going, "Gosh, I hope it just gets warm and stays warm." He doesn't like the cold. You should see the heater. They said, "You should see the heater he's got back here in the mirror room behind the dugout." And I looked, and it's a little, I expected to see this like big, huge space heater. And there's like this little tiny toy heater.
I bet he just climbs on top of it and clings to it. Like a monkey.
He'd break it. So I went in there and they were like showing me, I'm going, That's not a heater, it's a mejita. Something you order in a restaurant is an hors d'oeuvre.
Hi.
I told Mejia that joke, and he went like, is that humor, or am I supposed to laugh?
Wow.
So anyway, one thing about Ernesto is that he's about the most he's as unaffected a player as anybody in NPB. In a sense, it's very rare for me to have a player come up to me and say, "You know what I'm bad at?"
Rare for you. You mean nobody says that. Nobody admits that.
Well, I mean, people do on occasion, but when they say they're bad at something, they mean like, "I haven't adjusted to it yet." You know, there's always that thing about, "I'm going to get good at it because I really am good at it, but I'm just bad at it now." But people tend, and I think for a reason, I think people tend to talk about their strengths and how they can apply their strengths, because that's what it's all about. But he's having an issue with applying his strength, because he is looking for 3-2 fastballs and either chasing them out of the zone or watching 3-2 breaking balls in the zone or missing, because he thinks that, he misses You know, he's got a fastball swing on a breaking ball.
Right.
So he's got all those problems. And I said to him, do you ever, you know, just take big hanging breaking pitches in the middle of the strike zone 3-2? He says, yeah, all the time.
He's admitting it, yeah.
He says, all the time, I gotta fix that.
Yeah, I understand my mistakes, my weaknesses, and I'm working to better myself.
Yeah, but you know, this is what I love about the guy, because there's no pretension. There's zero pretense with him. And the other thing, I guess, that struck me when we talked was that this guy played, he was born to, and I'll tell you why I think he was born to play in Japan. I mean, other than that, you know, the genetic 3-2 breaking ball thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, you know, he played for the Atlanta Braves. He came up, and he's 29 now, I think, and he joined the Atlanta Braves as a 16-year-old before they drafted him, or before they signed him. He worked in their academy for a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
then officially joined the Braves organization when he was 29. He spent essentially 12 to 13 years in the Braves organization, and he never played a single game in the majors. And I asked him, are you bitter or are you thankful to the Braves? And he said a little bit of both, but that was the last we heard about being bitter, because all he wanted to talk about was how thankful he was for the Braves to teach that, for teaching him how to play baseball so that he can make a living in the sport now.
Right.
And that's what I get when I ask Japanese guys who are career major league minor leaguers who become first team regulars.
Mm-hmm.
Usually like after the age of 27 or 28 or 29, most of them sound exactly like Katsuhiro Hiratsuko, an old favorite guy. And when I asked him, most of their answers are like his. He said, when I asked, are you bitter? He said, no, it made me a better person.
Mm.
And a number of players have told me about that. Now the one.
he is 29. Birthday in December. 29. Yeah.
Okay. Now, one Japanese player who said, am I bitter? Heck yes, I'm bitter.
Kiyohara sounds like something that he would say.
Well, he wasn't a minor leaguer. You know who it was? It was Dave Okubo.
He's
a guy who really crush it, but because he was a catcher who couldn't play defense, the Lions refused to use him. Of course, they had Kiyohara at first, and they had a DH, and they had no place to play him.
Mm-hmm.
So they traded to the Giants, where he became a batting star for about a year and a half or 2 years. So he was the one guy who was really bitter about it. And Takeshi Yamasaki wasn't bitter, but he said something to the effect of, people don't understand that if you can hit in the minors, you can hit in the big leagues.
Mm, yeah.
And I think that is true, too. So anyway, but he wasn't as bitter about it, but Dave Okubo was. But Mejia was like, why should I be bitter? I'm making a good living. Instead of like, you wasted my time, it's, you gave me a career.
Right.
So, well, John, what did you get out of the chat with Ernesto Mejia of the Cebu Lions?
You know, there were a few things, and I really, of course, the first thing is that he's so personable, and he's, you know, he's talking, and he says, you know, he said so many things like, I lost 9 pounds, and I'm like, 9 pounds? Wait a second. You know, that's a lot of weight.
He lost 9 kilograms on Friday. On Sunday, he lost 9 pounds. I don't know which it is.
I like the statement, Otani's one of the better pitchers. He's a good hitter, too. How astute. I remember him hitting a shot I think it was opposite field last year at Cebu Dome. So I'm like,
yeah, I remember that.
What gave you the first clue?
that rocket
off the bat that went to left center?
Where they had to replace the artificial turf in the seating section where it did buried into the concrete.
Right. So he also said something about the pitches move a lot and that it fools the umps. I'm like, man.
I like that.
I'm like, man, those are strikes. Is what I really want to say. I think they're fooling than the umps. I'm serious.
I thought that was good, because what he's saying is that
it's a bad call. It's a bad call is what he's saying.
They make mistakes too. I mean,
that's four words.
The perspective of when you can't recognize a pitch, you can't understand how other people do. You know, because you're not seeing it.
Well, he only needs two words. Bad call. That's all he needs to say.
Well, I mean, we saw that. One of the Lions had many chances and score, and one of them was a pitch well out of the zone. He's looking like, yeah, maybe he went to the umpire and said, are you okay today? Are you having a good day?
You all right, man? Something in your eye? You have an allergy? Okay, just check it.
I got medicine.
I got some stuff in the back. Well, you know,
I got some glasses. And he wouldn't say that because he would, you know, they might take offense. But I think he's sincere about it.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Could bring him a pair of glasses. It might help.
We can help you out, man. I got some friends. You know, maybe it's trade secrets or something. He didn't want to give away what he worked on. But I really find it hard to believe, and I'm absolutely shocked that he said he didn't change anything in the offseason. And, you know, I understand not giving everything away on a podcast in an interview. So it makes sense to me. But all the success he had last year, I'm sure there's some places. And he said, I mean, he did say he was trying to make more contact. He was trying to mm-hmm. make contact more often. You know, we talked about the strikeouts and better contact. We talked about the strikeouts. And on some TV program, I saw that it was 1, 2, 3, 4. That's why I'll never forget the digits. But they had as a team 1,234 strikeouts last year, and I said they led the league. But that was a record. That was an MPB record for strikeouts by a team in a season. So I can't believe that they said, okay, well, we're fine with that as long as you mix in some home runs and some RBIs. And, you know, I'm thinking part of what he's saying about making more contact and better contact is addressing some of those strikeouts. And losing some of the weight, I think, is part of it, too, so that he can get to first base faster when he's going down the line, maybe avoid some double plays if he happens to hit the ball on the ground. Also, you know, with his defense, because there's two parts to the game, and he does look a little bit more spry at first base. I'm sure you noticed that.
I did notice that because I was watching not only the games at Cebu, but the two games. I watched the two games I was at Cebu, and I also watched the two games they played at in Sendai.
Mm-hmm.
And what I noticed, and I really hadn't watched him play defense much. I'd probably only seen I'd probably seen as many of his games this year as I have last year, is that he's not a good fielder because he doesn't have – his feet, he doesn't take short, quick steps.
Not nimble.
He doesn't have good balance on short, quick, on grounders. But he's got tremendous reflexes.
Hmm.
And if you're going to hit a line drive, don't hit it anywhere near first base because he plays balls in the air like he's a Golden Glover.
Ah.
It's only the balls on the ground where his feet get in his way.
Right.
You know, it's like he's got a put his body somewhere and the feet somewhere and leave room for the ball in the glove. And it's like the algebra isn't quite coming together there.
The algebra, maybe. Maybe it's an algorithm.
Could be.
Well, you know, I like that stuff. And you know, he and Okawari-kun, Takaya Nakamura, they struck out so many times last year. But I think Ernesto had more strike. He had a higher strikeout rate, slightly higher. And coming back lighter, talking about getting better contact.
I don't know if he came back lighter. I think he came back heavier. And he okay, now here's what happened. He came to camp heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And the coaches, the expression he used with me and with the media on Friday, on opening day, was 9 kilograms. On Sunday, he said 9 pounds. I'm thinking it's one or the other.
It's one or the other. Maybe both.
Yeah, so he either lost 4 kilos or he lost 9 kilos, one or the other.
Well, he lost 9 kilos first, and then now it's down to 9 pounds.
He lost some weight there. He lost some weight between Friday and Sunday. He doesn't know where he put it.
He doesn't know where he put it, huh?
So what happened? I'm so thankful to the coaches for giving me extra work, but giving me extra work that wouldn't burn me out or be too much.
Right.
They you know, they helped. They were the ones who got the weight off him. It wasn't his doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who he is. He's a guy who gives people credit for anything he can.
Excellent. Well, I mean, and I like these reporters' question. I'm sure it wasn't in question form. We want to see home runs. I'm like, why? You know, how is he supposed to respond to that? I mean, you know, some of these clowns. you know, we got to get
the hero. He was the hero interview. He was in the hero doing, you know, he was in the post game
hero interview. Yeah.
Well, yeah, the Lions, every team does it differently, but pretty much if you're the home team, you'll get one or two heroes of the game will be selected by the team. And usually the media got the reporters will get together, conspire with each other. Who do you want to get a longer interview with? And they'll tell the PR people and they'll have those guys ready after the game. And if they don't, they'll just pick a couple of guys. So
you there, just
that's right. You're the, close. You're the last one to the club up the stairs to the clubhouse. You're the one,
yep.
But I didn't play. Fake it. in any case, they have these guys, and so it wasn't on the field in the hero interview, so it was very loose, and the guy said, you know, you had the RBI single, but, you know, the fans really want to see the home runs, so are you going to hit home runs? And he says, yeah, I want to see the home runs too.
Yeah, he's got to come up and say, that's a clown statement, bro.
Whoa!
You got to come up with a question or, you know, don't waste my time. But, yeah, I mean, of course, people – and, you know, he hit his home run on – I think it was on Friday against Tadashi Setsu, the supposed ace of the Hawks. And he went opposite field. So, I mean, it was a good stroke for him.
And the reason I was thinking about the contact in particular because on Friday his BP – the balls were coming off his bat like it was made of Play-Doh.
Really?
Yeah, they were just clonk, clonk, clonk. Took these big, hard swings, and the ball just died in the outfield. And then he took some little light, quick, compact strokes, and the ball rocketed in, you know, little line drives. And I thought, man, that's the way to do it. And he's saying, no. No, I'm going to hit it on my terms, pretty much. He put his whole body into it and clunk.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that's – of course, when the reporters say that's what we want to see, I think that's what the coaches want to see from him too. That team needs power from him, and it needs power from Nakamura. And I don't think they're up there in most situations just to get on base. They're looking to do some damage.
No, fair enough. And I think that's part of their game too. I mean, they've got that swing, but, you know, you can't – if. Unless you're a real, real power hitter. I mean, unless you're really, really good at it, it's so hard. Most of the people say the same thing. You know, hit a home run when you're trying to hit a home run almost never happens. And Tony Blanco told me on Sunday that he said, you know, the year I led the league in home run in RBIs and batting average, that year I was hitting home runs until people kept talking about the home runs and I started wanting to hit home runs. And then I stopped hitting home runs.
Right.
He said, when I was just trying to make good hard contact every time, you know, trying to hit it all line. But that's when, you know, that's when my average was, I was batting 350 and hitting tons of home runs. That's when I looked like a T60. He didn't say that.
D60, all right. That's a long time ago. Well, the Lions got off to this 5-0 start. It was their first time in 24 years. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Hawks over the weekend, but they, you know, they extended that winning streak to 5. So it made me remember that team that had done it. It's 24 years, and that's, you know.
You remember the 1991 Lions?
I was here. That was my first year of my full season of Japanese baseball.
At Cebu Stadium.
I never went to any of the games, but I remember the teams and stuff.
I went to the game one of the Japan Series that year between the Lions and the first time I went to a Japan Series game, Lions and the Hiroshima Car.
But this was my introduction to Japanese baseball. Orestes Destrade was on that team. Kazuhiro Kiyohara was on that team. Koji Akiyama was on that team.
Kimiyasu Kudo,
Nabe Kyu, Hisanobu Watanabe pitched on that team. Ken Suzuki, remember him?
Ken Suzuki.
Norio Tanabe, he's the current manager.
He's there. Dave Okubo was not on. Hold on.
Yeah, he was.
On that team, he wasn't playing, but he was on the team.
And that team won.
Oh, sure. Sure, they were a great team.
Yeah, I mean, all those players I just named, those are like some of the great players.
Stomu Ito, the manager of the Chiba Lotte Marines, he was on too. He was their catcher.
So now this team currently wins these five games, but that's without the supposed ace. I have to use that word again. Supposed ace, Takayuki Kishi.
Who's the ace? You know, he's the ace like Kazuki Yoshimi's the ace of the Dragons. When he's there, he's the ace. When he's not, he's not. You know, he's the ace.
But he's still the there. Ace. He's the ace in waiting. And
he's the ace in absence.
And then Yusei Kikuchi, who I don't know what they're expecting from him this year, but he's
still, yeah, everyone says Kikuchi, but
He's not there. I mean, and so they won these games out of the chute like that without these key members of the rotation there. So, I mean, this is the team. Remember, last year I had picked the Lions to finish second, and I kept saying, well, they do have pitching. They do have pitching, and I expect them to pitch okay and blah, blah, blah. And they were all awful. I mean, the performance-wise, a couple guys had good starts, a couple guys had bad starts at the beginning.
Yeah, Kishi was good most of the time when he wasn't hurt, which is Kishi as always.
Right, but I mean, you know, they just were inconsistent. There was not enough consistency throughout the season.
Makoto was inconsistent. Nogami's good sometimes, and Togame was good sometimes. I guess the consistent guy was Tomomi Takahashi. The reliever.
The closer, yeah. So, you know, and I'm looking at this team, and I'm happy that these players got off to a good start, but I'm just not sure that they'll be able to sustain it. And
and
unless Kishi's coming back, I would expect they wouldn't be able to.
Well, Kishi.
Although Kuo pitched really well today.
Well, Kuo throws about. I saw on Sunday he pit last Sunday. He pitched and he threw his fastball is about 144, and he has four pitches.
And he throws them all.
And he throws them all, and he has. You know what he's got? He's got pretty good command. So basically, it's going to be a matter of people adjusting to him and him adjusting to them. I mean, he's not missing anything. He's not overpowering. None of his pitches are plus pitches, but he's got four B minus pitches, which is a pretty good. I guess the fastball's maybe a B plus, but
yeah, it's a good enough arsenal.
Yeah, there's nothing. You know, he's like Masahiro Tanaka light.
Yeah,
in the pitching repertoire. Now, if he's able to make the adjustments. Like Tanaka does, then he's a star. And if he isn't, or he's inconsistent, which we don't know yet, you know, then he's Takahiro Motoba or Shota Takeda, yeah. Guys who have – well, Takeda's got that dynamite curve, so that's probably unfair. Or Kazu Yoshida with the Buffaloes. He's another guy who's got a dynamite curve, but he's inconsistent.
Yeah.
These guys who's or I guess Yuki Nishi is another good example. A guy who's got pretty good stuff, but he's you know, it's a matter of when it's all there. The other thing is because he can throw that stuff all with impunity because he's going through the league the first time.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, what the adjustments people make to him are.
Okay, so they lost their first series this weekend, 2 out of 3 to the Hawks. But you know, they played well. They played all right. 6-2 is a good start for this team. You know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Otherwise, no. I guess everybody's hitting home runs. I'm surprised Tomi Amori hasn't hit a home run yet, but that will come. Taking ferocious swings and. I haven't seen it, but I'm guessing people aren't trying to test him on the inside part of the corner, inside part of the plate with fastballs anymore. Yeah,
not so far.
Talked about that last time. Geez, I don't know what I don't like about the team. The outfield defense is outstanding. So Asamura is looking like a guy who started his career as a shortstop and a second baseman. So shortstop is still a question. But yeah, I like the Lions. I mean, Sumitani's a... You know, he's the hole in the lineup, but they're a 500 team, I think.
All right, we'll keep an eye on the Lions and see if they can sustain that. I don't think they can.
Do we have to keep an eye on the Lions? Can we just ignore them for us?
They'll pop up. We don't have to keep an eye on them. They'll be in our eyesight.
Okay, I figured I didn't need to like push that button or anything.
Yeah, they'll pop up in the sight line. Okay. Let's talk about the Gong Gurriels. We can't call them. I guess we could call them Gong Guys. I don't know what to call them. Anyway, Thursday the news broke that the Bay Stars voided Yulieski Gurriel's contract, and they made Lourdes Jr. a restricted player. Now, I want to pat myself on the back for seeing the report and getting it out on Twitter real quick. And most of the people I followed didn't have it before I did, so I was happy about that. But I was more happy that the Stars took this step to terminate the contract, because I was talking at Tokyo Dome on opening day to anybody who would listen, anybody who was in 5 feet of me, and I think Wayne Grosick and Jason Koskry were within 5 feet of me, and I kept saying, get rid of him, dump him, they don't need him. But, I mean, you know, he claimed some kind of hamstring or thigh injury. I'm thinking it was a hamstring, and that
hamstring.
He couldn't come. And then all of a sudden, brother had a wrist injury, and they weren't going to. And it was all fishy to me. And I'm like, look, you guys are supposed to be here. And I said this before, that some of these Latin players, especially the guys whose seasons overlap a little bit. So I suppose,
who play in the Caribbean series who
right.
ends in January, not showing up till the middle of February.
Yeah, they want a break. I understand they want a break, and I can dig it. But I think these guys, these Japanese players, are playing it like it's life and death of their careers. And these Latin players who come over, some, not all of them, and I'm not trying
not
to
do
wide sweeping generalizations. I'm not trying to do that. But a lot of times, it's not life
this
and death.
This time, John's not going to do that.
Japanese baseball is not life and death for them.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I think, was kind of the thing that points to that, because they weren't serious about coming over. And I'm just really glad that the Bay Stars, like, joined the Cajones Club. And just said, you know, enough. You guys, you can't do that. We'd love to have you. We need you. We think we need you to win. We support the fact that you might have an injury and all this other stuff. But you guys aren't Siamese twins. One of you guys, get your butts over here. And neither one of them came. And they sent an envoy or a representative over there to check. And
well, they sent an envoy over there with a ticket saying, here's a ticket that will either for March 30th that will bring you to Japan. And they went like, no.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous,
and a team in their position can't afford to be made ridiculous.
Well, you mean more ridiculous. I mean, it is the DNA Bay Stars. I mean,
it's fair enough. Yeah.
They've got Nakahata as a manager.
In their position can't be afford to be made overly ridiculous.
Right. So I'm really proud of DNA for making the move, and it was the right move. And of course, the rumor started, you know, Claudio over in Toronto, who was on our show for the Central League, for the Pacific League review, he wrote on the Facebook, he said, you know, the reception of the news in Latin America was interesting. Some of the people were sending notes of support to Ulieski on Twitter, but some of them said that he's kind of a whimsical kid and that he's a, you know, his dad's a big Cuban star, and he has connections with the government, so he's lived his whole life doing pretty much what he wants. So that's, you can take that for what it is. I guess, you know, part of the other thing that Claudio said was maybe he didn't want to come over in the first place, and that, you know, he's got his eye on the major leagues. One guy, I mean, somebody on Twitter said, oh, great, now the Giants are going to get him, and they could use him. I mean, they could use him because second base is his best position. They come over, if they make the move and get him and stick him at second base, their problems are solved, baby.
True enough.
Yeah, I mean,
that could happen.
Yeah, but I've also heard rumors that the major leagues are looking for him. Claudio said something about something being on the net about the Yankees looking for him with a 6-year, $80 million offer. So they're going to waive that. Claudio said he kind of thinks that Ulieski didn't want to come back and that he's got his eye on the major leagues.
You know who said that also? Frederick Cepeda.
Yeah.
He said he spoke to Gurriel on. He said he's my good friend.
Makes sense. That's what the first thing I said was Cepeda could draw him over to the Giants.
He said I spoke to him yesterday, that being a Thursday, the day this news came out. He said I don't think he wants to come back to. He said come back. He didn't say to Japan or to DNA, but he said, I don't think he wanted to come in the first place. Now, here's the thing. I don't understand the connections with Lourdes Gurriel Sr. I have heard this said, that while Gurriel has been sought to play in the majors, and I know his young brother is a target of major league interest, what I've heard is that he is in no position because of his family to play in the majors under the current situation.
All right.
Now, Jason Koskry of the Japan Times had a brilliant idea, which is, what do you do now with Lourdes Gurriel Jr., who's supposed to be a better player than his brother, and he's 21 years old. He had a big season, I understand, in the Serie Nacional.
Mm-hmm.
his domestic league. And the question is, he's now restricted, which means he can't play in the major leagues.
Well,
he can't
for 2 years, right?
No. He cannot ever play until he fulfills his contract with the Bay Stars. There's no rule that says you can sign a contract, disappear for 2 years, and then go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
If you sign a contract and you don't fulfill it, you remain the property of the team to who holds your contract.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not on their roster. He doesn't count against their roster limits, but he can't play anywhere.
Okay.
Except Cuba. So that's what it means to be restricted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so his essentially he has to do a deal with the Bay Stars. Now, the problem is the Bay Stars cannot, posting him is a great idea. However, there's a problem with that. The only way he would be eligible to be posted to the major leagues
mm-hmm.
would make him ineligible to play in Japan with the Cuban government. And that is, he has to rescind his Cuban citizenship. That's a mistake. He has to rescind to play in the major leagues. Now you have to make a statement that you have no intention of residing in Cuba. Used to be you had to abandon your Cuban citizenship.
Uh-huh.
Now you only have to say you don't intend to go back and live in Cuba. So that's the that's why all the Cuban players now it's pretty much open season. Anybody says, okay, I'm good. I'm out of Cuba for the time being. Can do that. But I'm from what I understand,
mm-hmm.
because of the family connections, that's something he can't do.
Well, see, when I first heard that the major leagues were sniffing around for Ulieski and saw this rumor about the 6 year, well, Claudio gave us this information about the 6 years, $80 million. I thought, well, that doesn't make sense because he's 30 already. They're looking for the little brother. And I the reason I was complaining so much on opening day is that one of them should have been here because they're not Siamese twins. If one of them is hurt, how come the other one? They were playing. They were playing in the series. How can they both end up too injured to travel here to come here and report for work? It didn't make sense
to me. Cepeda says, well, I believe he had a hamstring injury.
Well, yeah, but that's one of them. What about Lourdes or whatever?
Left-hand injury.
He has a wrist injury, I was told or I read. But I'm like, get over here. Somebody get over here. One right. of you guys get over here. You didn't
have to be both. They're going to have to settle the. Well, I think, and this is the Bay Stars' thinking, is they're going to have to settle the younger brother's situation. They've essentially got him hostage right now.
Right.
So.
Well, he's made himself a hostage. I don't think that. I think the Bay Stars are doing what they should have done.
They should have done absolutely, but of course the point is, older brother doesn't want to play. Fine, let him play somewhere else. But. Let's see what happens to younger brother.
Yeah, I mean,
So he's free, and in fact, Ulieski Gurriel posted on his Twitter today that, good things can still happen. Other future things could be much better than where I was.
Yeah,
don't speak Spanish, so that's a Google translation. He could have been talking about ice cream, as far as I know.
Did you have to bring up ice cream? This is intriguing.
Ice cream.
Settle down, Junior. This is intriguing. We will definitely be watching, and I'll try to put out feelers and see what I can get back. I'm just thinking that the younger Junior needs to get over here and fulfill his contract.
That's an easy thing.
And even if he's 21 and he plays in the minors for 2 years, that's fulfilling it. So, and it's not sure. like it's going to be a bad thing for him. So, and if they
no,
can
it's
going to
be better for him. It's going to be better for him to come over and play in Japan.
Yeah. In the meantime, the Bay Stars are doing okay. I mean, we sure. thought they would be going to be better, and they are better so far. It's only a week. It's not like you can make a determination, but they look good.
Yeah, Baldieri's healthy, which is they had a bunch of hurt guys last year.
Yeah, well,
and speaking of hurt Bay Stars guys, Tony Blanco explained his situation last year. Now, he did not re-injure or aggravate his groin or leg injury,
mm-hmm.
although he had the same injury. He had them on different legs last year. But he said, yes, they brought me back early. He was not anywhere near fit to play, and he was favoring one leg, and he injured the other.
Which normally happens when you're favoring a leg.
That's what
trust
happened.
Me, I know.
Yeah, John's
first foot right now.
Yeah, he's trust John. He knows what he's talking about.
All right. All right, well, let's move along. When I first put this note on the notes, on the show notes, I wanted to talk about Shinosuke Abe's defense costing the Giants a couple games in a sweep that they suffered
at first base defense, correct?
Yes, his first base, his defense at first base, and blah, blah, blah. And there's going to be growing pains, and there's no place for him to go. And he said in the preseason, this is my baseball life is on the line. I either have to adjust to first base or my career is over. Blah, blah, back to catcher.
Oh, so that guy batting fourth for the Giants, we just write him off now, yeah?
Yeah, his career's over. He's done. Oh, he's definitely going to be shortened because all the things that they talked about, what did they say, 99.6% that he's not going to go back to the catcher. After six games at first base, he's back behind the plate. It was kind of a shocker. This was, I mean, that middle game against the Dragons. The first game against the Dragons, he was, Ogasawara was credited with a hit. The next night in the middle game, Murata bounced a throw across the diamond from third base. Abe ended up with an error. I don't know how that got scored that way. But either way, he didn't catch a couple balls that cost the team runs, and they ended up losing those games. And then Aikawa gets hurt in the third game. They lost that one. And I guess they're not happy with Kobayashi's calling games behind the plate.
Or his
bat, which is kind of asleep. And so now they've thrown Abe back behind the plate. And I think he's there to stay. Now they're saying, well, you know, just until this... Aikawa has a torn muscle.
Yeah.
So 4 to 6 weeks he's going to be out. So just until Aikawa gets back. Ha! Say hello to Mr. Minor Leagues, Mr. Aikawa. Somebody's going down.
If they're saying until Aikawa comes back, well then yeah. Of course Aikawa, he's rarely played a full, he's a good catcher when he plays all the time. I mean he's a good catcher when he plays, period.
Yeah,
he's, I always he's liked him. Yeah, he was good when he was with Yokohama, he was good with the Swallows. You know, he's twice been with the national team on the WBC roster.
He's 38.
Yeah. But, you know, he has a typical history of injuries for a catcher, which is he misses a substantial chunk of time every year on average, on usual. He has a few good years where he'll play 120 games, but normally he plays 90 to 100 games. So the plan was Kobayashi, and now they're sort of going, well, that's not going to work. I mean, give it some time, guys.
Yeah, yeah. This I wrote on my on the blog post that there were so many hands flying toward the panic button that the panic button couldn't see it anymore. I mean,
That's the thing. That is the problem with the Giants. Now, when you have a team that needs a little kick in the butt, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a team that needs to be patient, it's the wrong solution. So I'll be eating these words, you know, and the two last place teams in the Central League are the Giants and the Hiroshima Carp, and I picked one to finish first and one to finish last. So I'm chuckling on, you know, I'm crying on one side and laughing on the other.
Yeah.
I'm not saying which side.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the Giants and the guys they have. Who they had starting on opening day, I don't think are going to be able to, you know, we know Takahashi is an injury waiting to happen.
And Ibata is a guy waiting to wear out.
Yeah.
I love Ibata.
I love him too.
But he's not a guy who's going to play 100 games for you.
Not at all. And so it's just a matter of time. That's why I was saying, you know, this Gurriel situation, second base, you know, it looks really good.
They got Tatsuoka. They got a second baseman. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll another thing. We got lots of stuff to keep an eye on. And, you know, when I put the show notes together on Wednesday, things were really calm. And then all of a sudden, everything took off on Thursday, Friday. So, yeah, great. Great to have all this stuff. We can't even talk about the games because we don't have time. The next note I want to go to and make a seamless transition is that the fact that the Jingu Stadium is scheduled to be rebuilt, and this would be done after the Olympics, which kind of doesn't make sense to me. It should be done for the Olympics, but after the Olympics and be done in 2022.
Well, yeah, they're going to tear it down in 2022 when the new stadium is completed next door.
Yeah. strange to me. But so I was thinking, yeah, you more than I have a lot of memories of that stadium. Yeah. So what's the best memory you have from that stadium?
Jeez, too many. I guess my memory is a group of memories. I guess it's in the early 90s when the Giants and the Swallows were the two best teams in the Central League and exchanged pennants for several years, and they were bitter rivals. Mm-hmm. And Nomura Katsuya was managing the Swallows, and Shigeo Nagashima was managing the Giants, and they had – you couldn't get tickets to see Giants-Swallows games at Jingu Stadium. It was a chore. I remember cycling down about 25 kilometers from my home to go down early in the morning when the box office opened. This is before. You used to have to get tickets. Let's make this succinct. Back in the early 90s, you couldn't get tickets to see the Giants and Swallows. Mm-hmm. If you were lucky, you could get standing room only. The only way to get tickets was to go down the day the box office opened with those games first went on sale. Mm-hmm. And I'd go down at Jingu about 5 in the morning on my bicycle, and there would be 400 or 500 people waiting for tickets.
Out of my way!
There would be celebrities waiting for tickets. Everybody, it was the place. That's what I remember about Jingu Stadium. I mean, it was, and it's just so wonderful. It's the best atmosphere on a summer night to watch baseball, I think, in the Kanto area. I mean, just in terms of its convenience and its, you know, being in the middle of that smoking, hot, steaming city, and there's baseball and noise, and it's as good as it gets.
Well, you know, I started this job at the paper in 2005, and I had seen Jingu Stadium on TV. I'd never been there in person before, and my memory of this is not my fondest memory because this is my introduction to Jingu Stadium. I go there to cover a game, and I go in through the media entrance, and I go downstairs and into the press box, and I almost bump my head on the ceiling, and I'm like, what a dump.
Almost.
What a dump. Oh, boy, no, I cannot hit my head on the ceiling. You can't. You
almost bumped your head.
I almost
bumped.
Why
they put up the rubber foam down there, don't you? Because I was breaking the concrete with my forehead.
Yes, I'm sure you were doing that, but for me, I'm quite a bit shorter, so I didn't have that problem, although I do duck when I walk underneath there, but I'm like, what a dump. This place is almost as bad as Nagoya Stadium. You know, the old Nagoya Stadium was, I mean, I thought I saw rats ushering me in saying, where's your seat, sir? Let me see your ticket stub. I mean,
they were employees of the Dragons.
Right. They probably did have a little dragon t-shirt on there. But I'm like, okay, well, this is awful. You know, this place can't last. And I went up into the stands, and I'm like, this place is rickety. When are they going to rebuild this thing? This is in 2005. And obviously, it is, you know, they can't build. They can't tear it down. There was no place else and no plan to build another stadium. There was nowhere else for the team to go. And they do a really good job of keeping it fit for baseball. And it's a beautiful little park. I really like it, but I can't wait for them to tear it down and build a new one because I like technology. But my fondest memory there is, this, I guess, 2 years ago when Coco Ballantyne was on his home run tear, and I went and sat in the stands when he hit the tying home run, number 55, and I was sitting in the stands amongst the Hiroshima Carp fans, and I was obviously there when he broke the record, but I think the most fun I had there was sitting in the stands with the fans, the Carp fans, when he tied the record. And that was my fond memory of that place. And we're still talking about a long way off. We still got 7 years for this. I guess they'll play through the 2022 season and then go to the new park the next year. Yeah. So we still have a long, you know, almost 10 years to go and traipse up and down those stairs at this park. So I hope it holds up. But
you make it sound like it's Cebu Dome, you know, with the place where stairmasters go to die.
Hey, man, I'm just hoping those stairs last. Although it's rock solid. It's a really, you know, I say rickety. I think the stands are rickety. I don't think the bowels of the stadium are very well built. So
I guess another fond memory of that is watching Ken Burns' documentary on baseball, and they're talking about Babe Ruth, and they have innocuously inserted this image of him striking out in Jingu Stadium. That is so. I was going. You know, this is back in the VHS days. My mom taped it on TV and sent it to me, and I'm jumping up and down on my scream and screaming, and like the wife thought I saw a cockroach or something.
Well, I got nothing for that. All right. Next note is Shohei Ohtani. He hit a home run the other day, and I think in the span of 8 days he had 2 wins and a home run. So he's already on that early season pace that he talked about, which was doing more during this season than he did last season. So and he hit this rocket shot out to center at Chiba Marine Field.
Wind helped one.
And one note that that the Yomiuri Shimbun had was that his first home run in his first year came in his 92nd plate appearance, and then last year his first home run was in his 47th appearance, and this time it came in his tenth appearance at the plate.
Knowing the people at the Yomiuri, they will then tell you that his home run next year will come, his first home run of the season will come 10 days before it starts.
All right, some other notes. I noticed that the Dragons and the Carp were already shuffling their rotations. Now, I think one of them was because they had the poor performance by Daichi Osara, and I think they wanted to give him some extra rest, but I don't know. But Kenta Maeda started on short rest at Yokohama the other day, and then Raul Valdez, he pitched a couple days early for the Dragons the other day, and I remember us joking that they were starting at the back end of the rotation, and they tried to mix it up and start in the middle the next time out. So I don't know what's going on over there, but they're on a 6-game winning streak. So
they're making adjustments because of Yoshimi.
Yeah, because I noticed they sent him down, and they're just...
They did. Just that was part of the plan. They gave him a start, and they're going to send him down and see how he adjusts to the road, because that was his first start in like a year and a half.
Or, yeah, how his arm reacts and everything. So that was part of... Yeah, I understand that.
So that was fine. I think he's going to come back, and he looked fine in the spring, and he looks... What I don't get, and maybe you can understand this, is who did Tomoya Yagi sell his soul to? Because something's up.
Well, he beats Kuroda on Saturday, and he outpitched him 3-0. And
he owes a debt to somebody.
I don't think it was him so much as it's the Carp, and they're all pressing. And I want to get to that in a second. And the Buffaloes, the offense, they're swinging at stuff that they have no chance of doing anything with. So I think that was part of it, and he fed off of that. But we'll get into that in just a second. I wanted to touch on the fact that Alex Ramirez had his retirement ceremony this past week at Yokohama Stadium, and congratulations to him on a fabulous career.
Congratulations, Rami-chan.
And I wish I could have been there, and we'll be talking to you hopefully sometime this year. And
Answer your messages online, dude.
Yeah. Here's a little poke. Try that poke, and that's not on Facebook. This is on phone book.
So I don't have a stick I can't poke them with.
All right, so to get to the kind of a big surprise in my eyes is the Buffaloes are out to a 1-8 start, which I don't expect to continue, but it's pretty bad. And then the Carp are off to a 2-7 start. And I posted this question on the Facebook page. I said, which one is more surprising or disappointing, the Carp at this stage or the Buffaloes at this stage? And someone said the Carp because Eldred is out. And I thought...
Well, I would say that's least surprising because there's an obvious reason. Well, I think they both have a reason. I think Eldred is out is the reason. Eldred and Rosario both being out. I mean, I love two of the guys who are playing, who are Matsuyama and Seiya Suzuki. These guys can rake, but they're not ready. They need to make adjustments. And so if they do without Eldred and Rosario for a while, these guys will come up and do a really good job. But right now, everybody's pushing a little bit. Eldred
a little
might,
bit. Yeah.
We don't know. Okay, a lot, but we don't know when he's coming back. But Rosario is back, so maybe that will help them in the short term. With Oryx, it was a case, I think, of Chihiro Kaneko, and we haven't seen Yuki Nishi either.
Not the real one, no.
No. So they pitched very well most of their first games, and then they stopped hitting. So what's up? Well, Tony Blanco, oddly enough, Tony Blanco, when he was telling me he shouldn't be playing, he was swinging pretty well. But he told me it was an issue with his left leg. His left knee is in a brace, and he's limping like crazy. He can't really run. But he still has that sweet swing. I mean, but he has, with every stride, he has to lock his knee precisely or it buckles on him. Yeah, you know, he collapses with. In a heap at the plate, which is not ideal.
That's hard to hit with, yeah.
So he's getting hit. So when he can lock that knee and on a good swing, then he's got a hit. So they sent him down. And it was the day after, the 2 days after he told me he shouldn't even be playing, that they sent him down. So it's very unlike a Japanese team to actually do something that makes sense in that respect.
Yeah, we got
but anyway, so I think that – guys are sort of unwell. Blanco's gone. We need to do more a little bit. Nakajima's doing more.
Yeah, I just haven't seen them hit as a group. They haven't hit collectively, and they haven't really pitched that great. They had a bad start at Sabre Dome, but then they made it worse by doing what I said the Carp are doing, and that's chasing pitches that they have no business swinging at and things that they can't do anything with. And they're
I think they got all the pieces. It's just a matter of not panicking. But here's the problem. The problem for both of these teams is the expectations now are high. And so when they don't win, we must be doing something wrong. Patience they've become the Giants. Patience isn't an option when it's the best option.
Right. And for me, you know, the Buffaloes, I picked them to finish third. I didn't have that high expectation. I said that the guys they acquired were good, but they weren't great. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think – all they did was improve their depth. I didn't think they improved their talent level. And, I didn't think they brought it up. I think they might have made it deeper, but they didn't bring it up. So – yeah, the Carp. I just think they're pressing. I think once they relax,
they got a good game. You know, they got a good game ahead of Yuya Fukui today.
Yeah, and the Dragons tried to give him the game by blowing. Yohei Oshima is one of the best center fielders in the league, and he drops a ball that went right in his glove, and then they gave him another run, and then they gave him a run in a rundown that I've seen high school kids pull off a better rundown than the Dragons pulled off today. And they let the batter runner go all the way to third. They let the runner who started out on third and got into the rundown, they let him score. So it's like, here, a base for you, sir. Would you like a second base or maybe perhaps a third?
Oh, you bought the go to third option. Okay, here you go.
But anyway, it's all interesting. It's only eight days.
You know, speaking of defense and being weird, on Friday night at Tokyo Dome, with Abe behind the plate and Ibata at first and Katouk at second, you know, those are three new alignments this year. Mm-hmm. And when what I saw is a couple of, especially one play in particular, where it was like nobody knew what anybody was doing. Kataoka and Sakamoto both ran to cover short, the second base. Nobody was in short left to cut off a throw from center. Ibata then realized Kataoka was standing at second base, and he had to get to the middle of the diamond to cut off a throw, but he didn't get there in time. So the throw goes past him to Abe, and the runner on a single goes to second when it should have been cut off. And I'm thinking, wow, this is a bad thing for the Giants.
Well, remember I said, I think it was Michael Westbay who said that the Giants putting guys at different positions is a strength, and I said it's a weakness. And I think it can be both at different times.
It can. You know, if you have the ability to do it, and you have the ability to coordinate it, and you have somebody who's the leader in the defense, like Sakamoto is, and Ibata's second base is great. You know, he's got that middle infield brain, but he just – the sudden shift, I think, is killed him.
Okay.
But this is not rocket science. These guys are professionals. Even Kataoka is a professional. I know.
Even Kataoka.
Even Kataoka is a professional. He picks up a check every month.
All right. Let's go to fielding questions. All right. This comes from our buddy Glenn in Tokyo. He says, quick question. As a Tigers fan, I spent a happy weekend at the opening games in Osaka last week, but the 3-0 start has me wondering, what is the best winning streak an NPB team has ever had to start a season, and did it end in glory? So I went to look things up. And of course I knew I knew the answer to this right away because it was my favorite team.
Bad News Bears?
Hashtag high heat.
I just had to go back and check and see if any other teams had done it. Just disregard the man behind the curtain. the number is 11, and the Dragons did it in 1999, and they went on to win the Central League title, but they lost to Daiei in the Japan Series. The other team that won 11 straight to start the season was the Seibu Lions, and they did it in 1954. Nishitetsu Lions, and they went on to, it was a Pacific League title in that year, right?
Yep.
And so they won.
And they went to the Japan Series, and they lost. They lost to, this I knew, the Chunichi Dragons.
54.
Yes, the Dragons' only pennant between 1954 and 2007, Japan Series title.
Right.
Their first pennant, and now they've got two.
All right. So, just for your information, the worst or the longest losing streak to start a season is 12. And this was done also by two teams, the Seibu Lions in 1979. They also had two ties in there. And then the other team was the Tombo Unions, who became the Takahashi Unions, who became, what was it?
Takahashi.
They became Takahashi.
Takahashi Unions. Then they became the Daiei Unions. They merged with the Daiei Stars, and then the whole team went belly up. So when they went out of business was in 1950. After the 1957 was the year both Japanese leagues went to six teams.
Okay. All right, so yeah, good history lesson there. So that was fun. That was fun to look up. That was quite an easy one for me to look up. So I enjoyed that. And of course, I remembered because it was the Dragons in '99. It looked like they were never going to lose.
That's the year I met John Gibson at Nagoya Stadium when I did catch that foul ball.
Nagoya Dome, buddy.
Oh yeah, I never went to. The only time I ever went to Nagoya Stadium, I ruined. I put the last nail in Kenjiro Kawasaki's career by interviewing him after he became a free agent.
Don't give yourself that much credit. He was dead before you got there. He just didn't know it yet.
True. True enough.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot, Glenn, for the question. Thanks a lot for listening. And we will talk to you next week. Send your questions by email to yakyujohn@gmail.com. Tweet us at JBW Podcast and send us a hashtag high heat and let us know how we're doing. You can also send a message or leave a message like Claudia did on the Facebook page. Leave us a comment there and look for us on iTunes. We will see you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
See ya.
One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.